550, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt and Patrick here. Jeff Stein will join us here in a little bit. A lot to get to today. But Patrick, I gotta explain my disappointment in the media and in Democrats to begin this show, because the way things are going right now, you know, there is this old adage that you know, Republicans can be down by 100 points in a basketball game with 2 seconds left, and they'll find some way to disqualify a player, disqualify the referee, throw the whole game out. They will pull every trick on the book to basically win. Democrats could run up, you know, and just have an easy layup for victory, and they can't. Then all of a sudden it becomes well, if we do that, what's going on? And sometimes it just annoys me. Here's the reasons why. You know, you look at, I'll give you a great example. The coronavirus. No one can debate at this point whether or not that the Republican Party is the party of healthcare or the party to be in charge during this health crisis. No one can debate that. They are the absolute worst people, and possibly the worst people on the entire planet to be in charge of healthcare, or as in this case, the specific health crisis. They are horrible. They've had 10 years of, we're going to replace Obamacare. They have no plan. They have no plan. They never thought about it. Their mentality is, you are the equivalent of a box of paper clips or a box of pencils in your office. You work until you're you don't work, and then you're disposable. They don't care about you. And we are the absolute worst country on the planet for coronavirus. And yet we still have this debate that's going on somehow, some way. We are having a debate which basically encompasses, well, let's see if the Republicans can fix this. They clearly can't. And yet, once again, we have this case where I don't think the Democrats are nearly hammering on this as much as they should be. They absolutely should be hammering on this far more than they are. And the media keeps acting as if, well, you know, he says the sky is green. I guess we have to agree to disagree. I mean, it just is infuriating. On the 26th of June, we learned that Russia was putting bounties on the heads of our soldiers in Afghanistan. We learned over the next few days that, one, we had the money transfers from Russia that ended up in the terrorist's hands. We knew that we had the courier that ran the money from Russians to the terrorists. We had backup information from the foreign governments. And we'd also learned that this had actually been going on. We'd known about this since 2019. And in 2019, 17 Americans died in Afghanistan, likely many of them products of this bounty system by the Russians. And today, nothing. I want to remind everyone that for 6 years, excuse me, 4 years, 4 years of the Obama presidency, we had Benghazi, 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 Benghazi. Four people died of Benghazi. And it was a tragic thing that happened. It was unfortunate that happened. But what the investigations started when one person had said something about a video, and it wasn't right. And so they had four full investigations, not because they had any evidence, because they were on a fishing expedition. Let's make sure we understand. They had no evidence of anything, any wrongdoing by the Obama administration. They went on a fishing expedition because one person said one thing that didn't match up with everyone else's story. So four investigations into Benghazi later, four times they came on out. And they said, oh, there is nothing here. We could not find anything, any wrongdoing by the administration. Then some guy calls up, I think it was John Gibson's talk show, radio talk show, conservative. He was the guy from Iowa. And he says, I was in the room with Obama when he said, stand down. Now,
Within an hour, I guarantee you, every intelligence agency had tracked that phone call, found the individual. He said, "I was just joking. I'm just a proud Republican. I can't stand liberals." I mean, that was what happened. And that intelligence report showing that that call was fraudulent was available to every Democrat and Republican. And yet the Republicans had four more investigations into Benghazi based on that one phone call. You have Russia offering bounties on American troops. This happened on Friday the 26th. How in the hell does, and this is my problem with Nancy Pelosi, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are fans of Nancy. Here's my problem with Nancy. Nancy at times just gets so proud of her strongly worded memo. Oh, you're going to read this and I'm going to win the day on merit. No, you're not. That's not how this works anymore. And regardless of this, you think this is a game or not, we have American soldiers who are dead because there are Russian bounties on them. And you guys, forget about any kind of political out. You owe it to the troops to have an investigation. And you guys are like, well, I don't want to look like I'm trying to take advantage of the situation by basically investigating whether or not Russia was doing this. For God's sakes, people, do your job. You cowards. My God, I'm a veteran. Go investigate this. And when Jim Jordan comes out, Jim Jordan's going to come out here and say, I'm just a meanie pants for investigating. You look at Jim Jordan into the face and say, Benghazi, 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 Jim. If all lives matter, then why aren't we investigating this? The Democrats should be in Washington, D.C. right now. The Democrats should have forfeited the 4th of July holiday. The Democrats should be having immediate hearings right now on this matter, not because this is politics, but because we have a foreign country paying money to terrorists on bounties on American soldiers. You owe it to the troops to do something about it. We already know the Republicans aren't going to do anything because it's the Russians, and they have decided the Russians are more important than our military. That's the reality of it. The Russians matter more to them than the troops. You can't count on them. Trump has basically got his knee pads ready to go for the next time Putin calls. So it's up to the Democrats. And here the Democrats are saying, I have written my strongly worded memo. Shut up. For God's sakes, I wish there were someone in the goddamn Democratic Party that had half the spine And the gumption, as some of these Republicans do, to take just absolute garbage things and turn them into 3 years of investigation. And you are not looking to try to make hay here. You've got legitimate things. Well, Matt, we tried to impeach him once, and look what happened. Stop making excuses for them. I guarantee you, if the parties were reverted, if the Democrats were the president, if the Democrats had the Senate and the Republicans had the House, and this story broke on the 26th, they would have every Republican House member back by the 27th. They'd have committee hearings in multiple committees going on. They'd have investigations already started. They'd be demands for answers. They'd already subpoenaed the White House and every member of the staff they could. Democrats, gee willikers, maybe we'll look into it afterwards. But, you know, I don't want to be accused of sour grapes. Dear Lord, do your job. Stop being, I don't know. I mean, what else do they need? I mean, they are serving this up on a platter for you right now. You need to go out and investigate this. And, you know, if you're concerned about, and this is the part that's the most infuriating, is if you're concerned about being labeled as, I'm just playing political games. No, you're not. There are dead American soldiers due to bounties on their heads by the Russians. You owe it. You owe it to the families and the troops. You owe it to do a full investigation. God, just annoys me. 952-946-6205. Let's do the coronavirus update because I got two other doozies to get to here before I get into Stein coming up. Minnesota's on trajectory for one of the lowest spreads of COVID-19 virus in any state come November. Well, that's if things stay the same. According to a new national modeling estimate that could save nearly 200 lives by the time through universal mask usage. I'm presuming it's 200 lives in Minnesota, because I've seen the numbers that, you know, nationwide. They say if we go with a national mask standard, they could end up being close to 40,000 lives saved. So that 200 just must be for Minnesota. The updated forecast this week by the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation in Seattle is based on the relatively progress of Minnesota compared to other states in the current COVID crisis. The Minnesota Department of Health on Wednesday reported another 8 deaths, 463 known infections, bringing the state's total to the pandemic to 1,485 deaths, 39,589 known cases. The daily numbers represent declines from the peak dates so far in the pandemic, with the state reporting a one-day high of 35 deaths on May 28th, 840 confirmed cases on May 23rd, but case numbers have slightly increased over the last 2 weeks. And it's not a surprise. The minute you started opening everything up was the minute you're going to start getting more problems. Now, granted, we are not as loose and easygoing as far as Florida and Texas and California are going right now, but in Arizona, but you got to look, you know, you are always going to have an increase. Anyone that thought, oh, look, the numbers are coming down, open everything up, and thought that the numbers are going to stay down, you're a fool. Health officials are concerned about a rise in infections involving teens and young adults who are less likely to suffer severe COVID cases but can spread the virus to older people at a greater risk. And think about this. I mean, if you've got kids, and this is a big problem, if you got kids, think about the fact that your kids, I mean, are you taking them up to the cabin to visit with your elderly aunt, your elderly uncle, your mom, your dad, your grandparents? Well, you better make sure they're getting tested before they go on up to the cabin. Because, you know, and that's the thing that is, yeah, absolutely the thing which is, yeah, that's the part that scares me, is there's just really this flippant mentality. And I'll be honest, part of myself is the truth. I mean, I look at my kids say, I'm going to go hang out in the park. And we ask our kids, are you social distancing? Yeah, but we don't really know. I mean, I hope they are. They know they're not supposed to get close, but, you know, I don't know. I still think probably the best course of action would be to shut this country down for at least a month and a half and hope we can weather it, get on the other side of it. Because this whole thing about, you know, corporations and their profit margins are the only thing that matters, well, that's killing us all. And this is, I saw one report that said if we continue this concurrent model that we're in, it could be 5 years before coronavirus is finally corralled in the United States. Think about that. There are some countries where it's already been pretty much corralled. It might be 5 years because of the mismanagement of Trump and the administration. Unbelievable. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. When we come on back, I got some audio I got to play for you. Plus, I got another story from Bluestem Prairie to touch on before Stein. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Crooner's Supper Club is leading the Twin Cities back to live performances this summer with two new distance-safe outdoor dinner show options. The popular Lakeside Drive-In concerts will continue with new shows added throughout the summer. And not to be outdone, Crooner's is also introducing a new Lakeside Cafe in its outdoor patio space designed to offer a more intimate, distance-safe outdoor dinner show experience. So head to Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65 this summer for some delicious food and great music. Make your reservations now at croonersmn.com.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stories here today. I mean, you got the story of the rookie officer, Thomas Lane. His lawyer is making the argument that he should the charge against him should be dismissed because there's not enough evidence to establish probable cause that Lane committed a crime. You have the fairly shocking. We've been talking about it. The Wall Street Journal story on Lieutenant Bob Kroll, the union head there. I love this quote from the story. In 2007, five black police officers, including the current chief, sued the city and police department and then chief in U.S. District Court, accusing them of a pattern of racial discrimination and creating a hostile work environment. They accused Mr. Kroll, who was named in the lawsuit, of wearing a white power badge on his leather motorcycle jacket and using homophobic slur against an aide to the mayor. So, yeah, he's everything there. That's all you need to do. But I'm going to start off with Senator Bill Ingebrigtsen. This is a Republican. I'm going to play this clip here now. This occurred at a hearing about this Columbus statue. All right. And so he gets a little off course here. See if you can listen to this. Patrick, whenever you're ready.
Total lawlessness. We got city councils now that are saying to disband police, and we're now finding out what that result is turning into. Little kids being shot.
Mr. Chair, little kids being shot? Who's interjecting politics here? There are police in Minneapolis. No police have been disbanded.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Floyd was mentioned here earlier, and I think it was quite fair to give my comment. Total lawlessness.
Okay, so you can pot that down. All right, so there's the cut. Now, there are a few things here that we have to discuss about Ingebrigtsen's comments here. First of all, he's making these comments not at a hearing in regards to police brutality or anything like this. We're talking about the Columbus statue. And by the way, there are all these Republicans are furious. Why didn't you start arresting people? And they're like, well, did you want another riot on the Capitol steps? Because that's where we were going to go. So we decided to stand back. And when they were done, we were able to clean up the mess. And I think the police, the state Capitol police were correct on that. But this is at and once again, Columbus doesn't deserve a statue. That being said, this was at the hearing about the Columbus statue getting torn down. And he makes this comment about, the second thing we should do is run through what he said. He's talking about the fact that because the Minneapolis City Council is questioning the Minneapolis Police Department, which has been murdering African-American men, that now there's lawlessness in Minneapolis and kids are getting shot. And when called out on it, he says, George, you brought up George Floyd. I'm bringing this up. I'll get back to the George Floyd thing here in a second. But Ingebrigtsen, do you understand? Just because they're talking about replacing the Minneapolis Police Department doesn't mean they've replaced the Minneapolis Police Department. The Minneapolis Police Department still is supposedly patrolling the city streets. You know, I've heard enough people suggest that they might not be, patrolling, as diligently as they want because they want things to go right, things to get bad in the city so that they can make the argument that the police shouldn't get disbanded. But they're still patrolling. And Ingebrigtsen's argument is it's not the police who are patrolling the streets, which is the problem. It's the mythical fact that I have said the police department in Minneapolis has disappeared. And so the city council is directly responsible for all the dead kids and babies that are being shot in Minneapolis. Paraphrasing a little bit, but that's kind of where he's going with this. Dude, there's still police on the street in Minneapolis. If you've got a problem with policing, you need to take it up with the police chief. Let's get to the George Floyd comment, though. You brought up George Floyd like that's some sort of Democratic talking point.
Hey, you large jar of marshmallow fluff. You freaking albino beaver. Listen here, you waste of trash. They murdered him. They murdered George Floyd. That wasn't political. That was a murder. He was murdered. And just because I don't know, I'll guess. Maybe Ingebrigtsen was okay with George Floyd getting murdered by the cops. I don't know. It doesn't mean that the other side, when they bring up George Floyd, that, well, now I can go off on this fantasy world where the highly ethnic and diverse Minneapolis City Council is out getting kids shot. Dude, it's not a one-upmanship. And if you're trying to turn George Floyd, anyone mentions George Floyd, into an opportunity to bring in your delusions, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, OAN fever dream, minorities need to be put in line by the white guy, then you are, and by the way, is this basically a reflection of the Trump campaign talking points? I think it is. Wow. That's your whole thing. You brought up George Floyd, so now I can make up lies about the Minneapolis City Council. But at the end of the day, we can only speculate about this, and I'm going to speculate because that's kind of what I get paid to do. I'm going to speculate a little bit. What is really going on here? Don't fool yourself. Now, mind you, a lot of the problems that happened in Minneapolis were with people that came from white, male, represented outstate districts. Funny story, I know. So the problems, there's a lot of people that came out from not in the city, but out of the city that caused a lot of the problems. They want to skip past that. This is white male Republicans infuriated that there is an ethnically diverse city council that can make decisions that they disagree with. And if there ever was a sign that these people, if they got the chance, I'm talking about the white people, if these clowns got their way, that they would basically arrest the city council and impose and put a bunch of white guys from outstate Minnesota in charge, because we need law and order back in town. Because that's kind of, like I said, pure speculation, but it sure seems to be where Ingebrigtsen and the rest of these Republican clowns are coming from, doesn't it? How dare the Minneapolis City Council? Dude, if the Republican Party hadn't completely ignored the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, maybe you'd have a few Republicans on the city council. But you guys don't even run candidates there. So shut up about who is and who is not running that city. But I guess it could be worse. I guess the Republicans, well, and some people who vote Republican apparently could be calling for other people to get hung. I'm not joking. This is out of Blue Stem Prairie. In comments on a personal Facebook page on Tuesday, Restore Minnesota head and Minnesota Legislative Prayer Caucus State Director Dale Withering agreed with a comment that Congresswoman Ilhan Omar needs to be hung. Commenting, I can think of other treasonous persons who can join that parade. Wow, that's not hiding it anymore, kids, is it? That's not hiding it anymore. The exchange is in the screenshot above. We blotted out the names of the mutual Facebook friends, as none of these individuals participated in the discussion in the article. We're curious how many other Minnesotans and professed Christians believe that she should be murdered. He's critical of Attorney General Keith Ellison in an earlier comment on the post. Yes, he is practicing supportive member of the Muslim Brotherhood. We have plenty of video of him speaking at and supporting MB events. They have the post listed below, embedded below. So now you have, this is once again, this is a guy. He is the head of Restore Minnesota, the Minnesota Legislative Prayer Caucus State Director, Dale Withering, who is not some fringe guy. You forget that Withering has been around here ever since the whole Bedote thing at Fort Snelling. He was one of those people that was arguing that we should not remember the traditional Native American name for the Fort Snelling area, which is Bedote. And she, in the Sally Joe over at Blue Stem Prairie, goes into detail about this and talks about how Restore Minnesota came about and was trying to was trying to invert himself into this decision, and actually was part of the December 2018 letter to the Minnesota Historical Society, discussed the Rewrite News article as well. And basically, so this is a letter a bunch of Republicans signed on board that basically echoed these points from this Restore Minnesota guy, including guys like Dan Hall, Mary Kiffmeyer, Bruce Anderson, Jim Abler. You know, these guys were basically on board with this guy not that long ago when we were talking about forcing Fort Snelling to remove Bedote from all the signage around Fort Snelling because we can only have history about white America, apparently. And now here he is. Here is this same guy calling for Ilhan Omar to be lynched. Same guy calling for Ilhan Omar to be lynched. A sitting U.S. Congresswoman, mind you. It's time maybe that we go out there and, I don't know, media, maybe you should do what Sally Jo over Blue Stem Prairie is doing and get your microphones and go over to all these senators and representatives who have at times been involved with Dale Withering and working with Dale Withering on other issues or endorsing ideas that he's put forward and ask him, do you support the idea of lynching a sitting U.S. congresswoman? Because I you know, I know the truth, considering what we heard from Ingebrigtsen. I mean, these guys are starting to go down some real ugly paths now. I'm not saying that Ingebrigtsen is endorsing them. I did not say that. But what I'm saying is there seems to be a definite part of the Republican Party right now that seems to be willing to go to 1850s justice to try to get control of this world, which is spiraling out of their control at this point. And so maybe it's time for them to be put on the defensive and asked, do you agree with this? I would like to know. I would like to know of all those people that worked with this guy in the past, do they agree with him? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I'll post that Blue Stem Prairie story a little bit later on. We'll take a break. When we come on back, Jeff Stein. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Are you remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
These days, our home is the center of our world. This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. If we're all going to be spending a lot more time at home, doesn't it make sense to make your space the most attractive and most functional space it can be? At Habitation, my experienced, degreed interior design staff can help you select the perfect furnishings for your home and your lifestyle. Furniture is more than one size fits all, and there's more to making a room work than a couple of chairs and a sofa. Whether it's a modular, sectional, carefully selected to maximize your living room, or the perfect bed, dresser, and nightstand combination to create your dream bedroom, Habitation can help you achieve the space you've always wanted. So check us out online at habitationdesign.com or schedule an appointment at our Edina showroom. Habitation Furnishing and Design. Make your home exceptional.
I love the Toyotas I've gotten at Rudy Luther Toyota, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. And I can tell you, it will save you a lot of money over 3 years. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thanks to Todd Colid for sponsoring AM 950. Of course, Todd lived here in Minnesota. He moved to Spain. Sounds nice. He lives over there. But he listens to us via the internet. Hello, Todd. And of course, he likes to sponsor us. He can't go to our businesses necessarily, but he does help sponsor. You can find out how you can do actual ads on the station and sponsor the station as well. Give us a call at 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. Todd this week wants to promote voting early by mail. The Secretary of State has an easy to follow page to help you out with that. I'll put a link to that Secretary of State page online a little bit later on. Thank you very much, Todd. Once again, 952-946-8885 for more information about that. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books, as well as also totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his weekly report down there. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report comes from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where he is stationed. Hi, Jeff.
It feels like 103 degrees outside where I'm at.
Well, it's not much cooler here. I think we're about 101. It's a little moist out there. Oy.
No, I'm about done with it, and I'm about done with an awful lot of people who talk without thinking and make these.
Are we done now? I guess I'm done now. Bye, Jeff. It was nice to have you on.
Can you put a record on or something? Just fill to the top of the hour. I mean, you know, you were talking about it before the break. I called in or I dialed in to make the connection so I could hear a bit. I mean, the amount of people who just react and don't think or get any information before they decide to speak. I mean, it doesn't take much to say, you know, I don't have an opinion on that because I don't know enough. But that's not what we get these days, is it? And that's really too bad.
Well, okay. So since we're going to talk about that, let's talk about this. Trump clearly is going down. His new strategy, which is going to – I can't see this winning at all – is really, you know, partying like it's, you know, 1861. You know, it's, you know, at Fort Sumter that this is the kind of mentality he's putting forward. I mean, it's using all the dog whistles. He's, you know, it's, you know, talking about the Confederacy and it really is ugly. And you've seen it how he's gone. And of course, this is something that's been kind of a theme of his presidency ever since he got into office, whether it's Charlottesville or locking up the people on the border and stuff like that. But the reality is they're not hiding it anymore. And what you're seeing is the offshoot is not only do we have almost daily copious videos of people screaming at minority groups or trying to destroy, you know, memorials to Black Lives Matter or whatever the case may be and getting caught doing so. Just people that are losing it. You have people driving cars into protests now. And on top of that, you have these politicians. And we've got more than a few here in Minnesota. Ingebrigtsen is one of the latest. Who is they're basically just letting their racism flag fly, and they don't care that it clearly is dog whistle. It clearly is, you know, everyone can see what it's intended for. I think the consequences of this kind of campaign, I don't know what George Wallace's campaign was like back in the 60s, but because that was a little early for me. But I mean, I got to believe that this is the impact of this is going to be long felt after this election.
Oh, thanks for the George Wallace was before my time blast. I appreciate that greatly. Big problem with Trump at the moment is messaging. And here's what I mean by that. His staff writes words that are neutral. He then delivers them in a manner that gives them a certain tinge. And you really feel that when you then read the social media posts, the tweets that he puts out or that he dictates to someone or however he does it. You know, with the Independence Day speech and the Mount Rushmore speech, if you read them, they don't necessarily have the – and by the way, nice Prince reference, you know, Mr. Twin Cities there with partying like it's 1861.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't come off that way in the written word. But the way he delivers it, the way he tries to recover when he loses his place in the prompter, watch this sometime when he does a speech. When he's bored by the speech, as he was Friday and Saturday, I'm really tired of a lot of these pro-Trump pundits saying these were the greatest masterpieces of oratory ever. the speeches weren't badly written. He delivered them poorly. And when he loses his place or gets bored or whatever, and then he kind of wakes up again and he repeats certain words from the sentence before for emphasis. And that tells you what he really believes. And you add that with the tweets saying that a black NASCAR driver should apologize because someone else on his team reported something, which I believe is the fact of the matter.
Yeah, so, no, actually NASCAR found that news, yeah.
Well, now the way that I saw it was a member of the Bubba Wallace team who said, oh gosh, look at this, I need to report it. And then NASCAR took over the investigation that the driver himself never did see it in person, but of course his team's going to report it. Why? You know, that I have no issue with that whatsoever. But again, it's the full context when you then see the tweets, and then that's the overlay for the speeches. And so again, all of these people on the right saying they can't believe how bad the media reaction was to those Independence Day weekend speeches. Well, you're right technically that the words themselves didn't say anything per se objectionable, but you have to put all words in context.
Well,
there have actually been people legitimately suggesting that he really doesn't want this, that he's had enough of it, and he doesn't give two hoops about winning. And their point is, then stand aside so that the party has a chance to win.
Well, we might have an announcement tomorrow, depending on that Supreme Court rules on the personal information. That could be coming tomorrow.
You are going to bang that drum, my friend, until the end.
Well, I got to tell you. Okay, so, all right. The reason why he is losing his base is because, one, you and I talked about the idea of, okay, let's let all the elderly die. Well, do you know who votes Republican and the most stalwart Republican voters are? The elderly. And frankly, I don't think a lot of them appreciated the flippant attitude towards that back in March and April. But I think what you're seeing is just a natural, the inertia. I mean, you have a lot of white people in Republican states who are losing family members to coronavirus, who are themselves been sick for 6 weeks. There is going to be a natural inertia that comes off this, and he seems to be feeling to himself, well, if I get really, really racist, they'll come back. I mean, John Oliver made the good point, I think it was 2 weeks ago. These guys could have controlled this by putting out, Make America Great Again face masks and kind of being on the forefront and looking, and we're the compassionate conservatives again. Instead, they keep doubling down, and it just is... I think not only is this not going to win any elections in November, but there is going to be violence in this country for years to come because of what Trump is unleashing at right now.
Well, okay. Now, I have not talked to you for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
I don't know if I should just ease into this or just hand it to you. Okay, I'll hand it to you.
All right.
If the election were held today, Trump would win the Electoral College vote.
No, he wouldn't.
Well, here's why I believe that. There's no way he wins the popular vote, okay? There's no way he wins the popular vote.
He's not going to win Michigan. He's not going to win Pennsylvania. And today we have a poll out that he's got a four-point. He's behind 4 points in Wisconsin. Those three states alone shift this election. And that's not including Arizona, where he's tracking by 10, down by 10 there. Florida and Georgia, where he's behind. And North Carolina, where he's behind. But, I mean, give him Florida, give him Georgia, North Carolina. He's not going to win just because of Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Arizona.
Okay, now here you go being all scientific with actual numbers and data.
Yes.
But these are based on public opinion polls, right? And I think that his hardcore base wouldn't take a poll, wouldn't trust a poll, and I wonder if he has some sense that by engaging in this patter at the moment that he's thinking he's going to bring enough out. I'm not saying I've got stats to back it up. It's just a hunch that there are more, and this potentially is the scarier point. There are more people who would vote for him because of this than we want to admit.
Well,
and I'm on record. You know, you and I talked about this for years. I told you I was stunned that this country would vote for a person of color for president in 2008. And I'm still stunned by it. I'm still surprised by it. I think there is a bubbling undercurrent And to your point about violence for some period of years, the way that this has been laid out between rural versus urban, blue versus red, in terms of political, black versus white, I mean, how do you get out of it?
I don't know how you get out of it, but I'll say, okay, let me address your point. There is right now, I mean, I'm going to go back to 2018 in Minnesota. What did you see? You saw Republicans get more votes than they ever had gotten before, backing up your case. They got destroyed at the polls because in this country, 110 million people did not vote. And all you need is a good 20 or 30 million of them, and it will be such a monumental landslide. It will make 1930 look like nothing. And that is where I think the problem for the Republican comes. Now, as far as polling goes, 538 does pretty good analysis of these polls. If there was a feeling that the right and Trump supporters were not getting polled in equity, I think 538 would call it out. They're not calling out these polls as fraudulent under that guise. They follow the methodology and they put it out there. But so, I have zero doubt. I have zero doubt. Every Republican out there, doesn't matter. They will show up and vote for him. The problem they have is now that they've woken people up and things have gotten so bad in this country and coronavirus is still going on. You've got bounties on our soldiers. You got an economy in shambles. You know, this place is a mess right now. Foreign countries are not letting us in. And I'm sorry. I think what you've done is you've woken up an electorate who is generally sits back and over half, you know, nearly half the people that vote don't vote. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. And right now, the vast majority of those people are going to be voting against Trump.
I just don't have the confidence in the American people in 2020 to participate through the normal channels and vote. I don't have the same confidence that I did 6 months ago. Or that, and I think you would agree, that I've consistently held. You know, I mean, I'm Joe Pollyanna here in terms of, you know, this will all turn out well and the right will come to the surface and all of that. The correct as in right, not left as opposed to right. I'm just not comfortable. I mean, the whole tone. I spent some time over the weekend. CNN was replaying their series, The 60s. It's another one of those Tom Hanks documentaries that he's involved in. And I came upon the 1968, which I thought was the most pivotal year in American history. And that makes what we're going through now look like, you know, elementary school. And I just don't have the confidence, Matt, that I did. Because, for example, you have said that, you said a moment ago, every Republican will vote for Trump as opposed to what's on the other side. I say that may depend in part on who Biden picks as a running mate. You've got the Lincoln Project that you've talked about.
I think these lines are set regardless of who the VP nominee is.
Well, okay. But I don't think you're going to get a bunch of public defections, no. But you are already starting to see Republicans who are on the ballot this year start to take greater pains to distinguish, I'm doing air quotes, distinguish their views from that of the president, et cetera. I just don't have the full confidence, and I just don't think there are enough people who will demonstrate leadership to stand up. And as we said, okay, how is this fractured society going to be healed? It's not just by electing Joe Biden, and that's potentially a problem. Because there are so many people who are going to say, well, there, we voted for the other person. Everything's fixed. Well, no, it's not going to be fixed.
No, people have got to step back and look at how damaged this country has become.
And to that point, then, I think you'll agree there were a lot of people who voted for Trump because they said, well, you know, we need somebody to fix things, whatever that meant, right? Okay, many of those defecting this election are saying, well, he didn't fix it. Where's my fix? I voted for a fix. He didn't change anything.
But a lot of his people are saying, a lot of people are saying he's fixed everything already. You know, there's such a delusion that exists with reminder. It's not about anything he does. They love him because they feel he owns the libs. And that's their main driving force.
Okay, so that then, this conversation, if you folks are tracking this at home, we're going in circles and I'm getting dizzy. But that that almost makes the point, though, that I was saying that I think if the election were held today, he would win because of what you just said. This is what's so crazy about it. But the one thing that I actually talked myself into today was really understanding that we're not going to know till after Labor Day about anything. There's just been too much upset. We have no idea what COVID-19 is going to do, although we're getting a pretty doggone good idea. And if you remember, in 2008, McCain was ahead of Obama. Then it was at Labor Day and the economy crashed. And again, you get to 2012. Romney thought he was going to win. Thanks for those pollsters for getting him all stoked up for nothing. And Obama pulled it out. I mean, it's kind of like until we get to September with our, you know, limited attention span society these days, I don't think we can really hone in on it. Yes, we need to talk about it now. We need to understand what's going on right now. But I, you know, that's why I say it depends on who Biden selects as a vice presidential running mate. That makes a big difference, don't you think, for those who perhaps independent, Matt, and don't know what they want to do for sure.
Oh, I think that if there's any thought that there's going to be another, you know, Bernie sit out, that's not going to happen. I will say this. It boils down to this.
I'm talking about independents who are saying, I don't have a party allegiance. And if they look at Biden's running mate with the mortality of anybody of that age, that's going to make a difference in terms of them feeling comfortable to go down that road.
It comes down, boils down to this. Jeff just doesn't seem to feel as if the Democrats will show up again, which is you're not coming at that from, they generally haven't. That's a pattern there. I'm of the mindset things have changed so much that they are going to show up.
Well, now, I'm not talking about Democrats showing up. I'm talking about independents. I'm talking, you know,
I think
I'm
there are far less independents left in this country than, I mean, this idea that there's this large swath of independents. No, I think people have chosen sides. And I think there are some independents, but, you know, most of those are probably libertarian or even what, communist or Marxist out in the far left. I'll tell you what, let's take a break because Trump is going to try to lose this. I'll give you his latest strategy when we do come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a final break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
When you need legal assistance, let the Minnesota Lawyer and Referral Information Service help you find the right attorney. It's a new and enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They have professional, experienced referral counselors who can connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in employment law, divorce, bankruptcy, DUI, and much more. Take the stress out of finding a lawyer. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
Join over 300,000 Minnesota families by choosing Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialists. Our customers have helped us be very good at selling, installing, and servicing appliances. We work hard to earn your business. Choose Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist.
Hi, Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz here. We're in an unprecedented battle against the COVID-19 virus. The state of Minnesota is doing everything possible to keep you safe, but we need your help. We need you to stay home, flatten the curve on COVID. Let's get through this thing together.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, does the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. You are getting some kudos on the live stream of the show, people commenting there. Well, one person commenting that he agrees with you on this. But my point is, I think all the Trump supporters are going to show up. I just think more, I think of that 110 million that sat out 2016, you're going to see a good portion of that show up this time.
You're probably right, but keep in mind, that's one more person that agrees with me than when you and I are just talking, because you don't agree with me. So, you know,
I agree with you most of the time. I think it just comes down to, you know, whether or not which one of us is right on wrong when on the Democratic show up. And that's what it comes down to. Although Trump is going to try to help this out. His new strategy is you have to start in school classes to get federal funds for education, or else if you don't, then you don't get education funding. I already talked about this extensively just with some friends about school starting up here. You know, your metro schools, you know, 400, 500 kids in a junior high. One kid gets sick, you got to shut the school down. I don't know how in the world he thinks he's going to be able to pull this off. But if you start saying, okay, not only are we going to threaten grandma and grandpa, but now we're going to threaten the kids too. I don't know exactly was I don't think that's a winning strategy.
Okay, this is what, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, because he'll deny ever saying it Friday.
Of course.
All right, that's the shelf life of this. This is part of the federal government creep, right? I have never liked it. I don't care if we're talking about blood alcohol levels or speed limits. I don't like the federal government threatening to withhold dollars because states in a republic, hello, you know, don't do what's best for them. You know, I mean, we've got in both Iowa and Minnesota, you have metropolitan areas. Again, relative size is different state to state. But you've got metropolitan areas and you've got rural areas. You don't treat them the same. The whole dynamics are different. And so to suggest that every school district in America should show up full time, it's folly. But again, I will tell you, most parents, and I don't have children, most parents probably heard that and said, amen, brother, and then they thought about it. Because their first their first thought is probably, I got to stay home with these kids one more day. You know, I respect that.
Well, there are some people who have been sick for 3 months. Three months. No. Oh, my goodness.
I hear you and looking for facts. What's the matter with you?
I know. Hey, so tomorrow, Supreme Court rules. We got about 40 seconds left. Supreme Court rules against Trump. I think by the end of the week, there might be a resignation. I am dead serious.
I am going to be consistent. His taxes will tell you nothing.
Oh, did you see his niece said what page to go look at, for God's sake?
Oh, his niece. I'll write a tell-all book about him. That's fine.
Or did you do his SATs for him?
No, I got into college on my own, thank you.
Well, tomorrow's going to be an interesting day. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. We do agree on most things. He's actually smarter than me. We are back Wednesday. I'll talk to you next Wednesday, Jeff. We're back tomorrow. Until then,
let's talk about getting your home zero-res clean.